So can you tell us who you are?
I'm Chuck Anderson, and my wife Joanne and I started coming up in 1964 with our kids, Jan, Karen, and Kurt.
How did you hear about Holden?
Oh, I was over in the Bay Area somewhere at a Christian camp, Lutheran camp, and I asked somebody, and then it had just started, and somebody had heard of it, so we just kept pursuing it, and next year we came up here.
Wow. Yeah. So can you kind of paint the picture of what it was like when you came up?
Well, a little more primitive in some ways.
Sure.
They put a lot of walls in, and of course Carol Henderly was the director then. He'd have people drive around, and the bus would park right up there by where the kiosk is, and then drive down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And
so
it was
a road back then. That
there was a road back there then.
Okay.
And it was dusty, and the tailings were dusty.
So the whole experience was dusty.
Yeah, it was, and there were a lot of safety hazards. You know, the mine hadn't been fenced off or anything. None of that stuff had been fenced off up there. And
sure.
Kids would run out on the steel beams. And of course, Carol Hinterly's kids were leaders of the pack, and my kid followed them, too. Yeah. But I've come back every year for the last 49 years, so
had a lasting impression on you because you wanted to keep coming back.
Yeah,
Why would you come back?
Well, the people. The people. You know, at first you notice the scenery and everything else, there were a lot of characters in those days. Hinderly was a character.
Tell me about him. What made him a special person?
Oh, he was a real earthy guy.
Okay.
And he loved to play volleyball. He had three courts set up down there by Narnia.
Really?
And you'd work, and every court was filled every night. And you'd work your way up to Hinderly's court. There the best volleyball was played, and Larry Collins was one of the best volleyball players. He not very tall, you know, but he could put that ball where nobody could find it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fun. I'll have to tell you one. This is a little story about Hinderly.
Let's hear it.
He one night we were playing volleyball, and we had one game apiece, and we were about halfway through the third game, the playoff game, and the bell rang, and we started to walk off the court, and Hinderly says, "Oh no, this game isn't over till it's over. I'm preaching tonight," he says, "and I'll tell you when we go to Vespers."
Oh, really?
So, and Hinderly would sweat. He was a big guy.
Yeah.
And he'd perspire something terrific, just running down his face. And we finished the game, and he went over there and put on his robe, and he was still
drenched.
Still, you know, he got worked up on a volleyball court. And when he talked about a lot of others, he got up the pulpit, and he pounded on the pulpit like this, and he says, "Christ was no mamby-pamby person." He said, "If he was here today, he'd say, get off your ass and do something." You know, that was kind of the way he talked when he got worked up. And he got worked up frequently. He was a character.
Wow.
Real character. And he had the theology of the sauna, too. He'd go into the sauna about midnight.
Uh-huh.
And if anybody was singing, you know, any songs or something, he said, "This is a sacred place. We don't sing song here." And he'd go on with his theology for an hour or so in the sauna every night, just night after night. Just an unusual guy.
Wow.
Yeah, and his kids were fun too. And of course, some of them are, have come back as director.
Sure. What do you think that you, as a family, have brought to Holden all these years?
Well, I think Gertrude Lundholm was great on hospitality, and in the early years, she was Beanie Lundholm's wife, and Gertrude was a Miss Hospitality in the village, and I think she instilled that on everybody in the early years, so hospitality really became important to us and the whole family and the whole village, you know, but it took a little time.
Yeah.
I remember the first year we were here, Beanie and Gertrude were just leaving the village, and
for good.
Yeah, for the summer.
Okay.
We came late that summer. And my wife said, wouldn't you know it, just when we get here, the music goes out the door.
Oh, sure.
And then Hinderly says, so the next music director will be Philip Brunel. And you know Phil.
I don't.
Philip Brunel. He's from the Minneapolis area, but he has, he directs a choir and things back there and has a big concert series. And he also played with Garrison Keillor. He played the organ for Prairie Home Companion.
Oh, then I do know who he is.
And he played before it was even called Prairie Home Companion. So he and...
Really?
And Keillor have been around for a long time together.
Yeah.
But
he
used to come every year too.
Okay.
He still comes. Yeah.
So is there any place on the campus here that's especially significant to you?
Besides the snack bar, you mean?
Oh, the snack bar, yeah.
I'm an ice cream person. Well, Koinonia has a special feel because we were here for Christmas one year, and Christmas was celebrated in Koinonia, and they had the food and everything down there. The dining hall wasn't open that winter.
Uh-huh.
They opened it several winters later, I think. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever come up during the non-summer months?
Just that one Christmas, yeah. Yeah. So, it's, but we've come up, you know, two or three times some years. Yeah.
Was Holden primarily a place that made you laugh or made you cry or a little bit of both or?
Yeah. Both.
Yeah.
It takes a while for Holden, for you to realize that you don't bring an agenda to Holden. You accept what's here. And if you try to bring an agenda, Holden isn't the same as if you just accept what is here. That's why I hesitate when large groups come here. They don't get the full experience because they stay together too much. And
I see.
Don't meet people.
Don't get a chance to kind of really integrate it into the whole community. Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you always been up here as a guest, or did you ever come up at doing any sort of staff or volunteer work?
Volunteered year after year, including this year, came up for work camp.
Yeah. So was there any particular work that you were typically involved in when you came up?
Hinderly would always greet me at the bus and say, this is what I want you to do this year, Chuck. And he'd always have a project, and one of the big projects in the early years was putting a stone walkway from the river sauna down to the river.
Really?
That's when there was a dam in there and you could dive in, you know, it's about 6-8 feet deep. So you could dive in there, sauna, and he wanted a smooth, good walkway out there. So we built that one year. So, and well, that was the year I met Dwayne Landsberg, I think. Dwayne came in 67 for the first year, and we've met them up here every year since, and he became president on the board, and I was on the board for 12 years when Ellen Gamreth and Dwayne were the presidents of the board.
Okay.
It was fun.
So, how has Holden changed you throughout the years, do you think?
Well, I, again, back to the early years, Hinterly would invite the same people every year. So her brokering, for example, would come and teach hilarity. He's just an unusual guy, and others the same way would come. So after a while, you look at Christianity in your life with a little more humor and a little more down-to-earth. But it also it opens you for change. And I think that's one of the biggest things Holden does. Mm. Opens you for change.
Wow, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. When you go home, do you tend to tell people about Holden?
Oh, absolutely. I drag people up here from California for the last 50 years. Every year we've brought Catholics and Jews and every other religion you can think of.
Up here. Was there a place that you typically stayed when you came up here? Did you have a spot, or were you happy to be wherever they would have you?
Oh. In the early years, it didn't matter, but now that I'm older, I like Shelley, or Lodge 4, I call it the geriatrics ward, because it has a ramp, and I asked for a bottom floor.
Yeah. How about during the daily routine at Holden? Is there a favorite time in the routine for you? Is there something that you tend to look forward to the most? In the day?
Well, I like Vespers. Worshiping every night to me is just a gift. But I also like the coming and going of people and greeting people on the bus and saying goodbye to them.
Yeah.
It's just special. It's just wonderful people.
Yeah.
But that reminds me again of one of Hinderly's things.
What's that?
He said, "See that kid misbehaving over there? He's a little fart because his dad is a big fart." that was Hinderly.
Sounds like a really great guy.
Oh, tremendous.
What a really good guy to know.
Best.
Wow. So what's changed over the last 50 years and what stayed the same?
Well, the whole philosophy of the village has stayed the same. And I remember one board meeting, Will Hertzfeld, who was a black member of the board at the time, and he later became the president of the synod that broke away from the Missouri Lutheran Church.
Huh?
And at one board meeting, somebody said, "Well, how can we change this place to make it better?" And Will's words were, "No," he says, "how can we keep it the same?"
Huh.
Which is kind of the philosophy that the board has taken over the years. Yeah. How can we keep it the same?
Wow.
That's from a that standpoint. But from a safety standpoint, there were so many hazards up here in the early years. Big metal sticking out all over, including in the playground and places like that.
So it's a good thing that it's been able to receive cleanup in that sense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Are you excited about the chance for the whole valley to be cleaned up?
Oh, yeah. 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 They're going to be surprised when they dig into those tailings, though.
You think so?
There's a lot buried in there that people don't know about.
Oh, boy.
Yep. I mean, some of the tailings, not all of the tailings, just where the garbage used to go. There are a few vehicles down in there.
Yeah. You know so, huh? Wow. So, you've been talking a lot about Hinderly. So, would that be the director that you identify the most with over the years, do you think?
Oh, probably, just because he was here at the beginning and he was here for 14 years, but I identify with them all. I knew every one of them and knew them pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all wonderful people.
So, there's this question here which I think is kind of interesting, and it says that there's a sign in the bus which says the ride up is free, the ride down is costly. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm, sure.
What do you think of that?
Well, that may have been one of Wes Preeb's things. You know, he was always coming up with something like that. I have mixed emotions about the meaning of it, but you could take it many ways.
Yeah.
But it's, well, you see tears in the eyes of a lot of people leaving. That's the costly part of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think costly might mean too, when people leave, they find a way of changing. They find a way to change about where they're going back to, the way they're feeling or their lifestyle or living.
Yeah.
I think maybe it might mean that somewhat too.
Yeah. That you can try to avoid it, but you're going to be changed when you get here, and it's going to cost you something.
Yeah.
And you want to change, you know.
Yeah.
Well, not everybody wants to change, but
it happens.
It happens.
Yeah.
Yep.
Any other stories you want to? You want to share? Any final remarks?
Stories could go on and on.
Yeah.
But
well, you're one of the folks that I think having such a legacy here, it makes me excited to know that myself and other folks here will get it. Maybe can have the opportunity to someday be able to celebrate 50 years of being present.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. That's my prayer, that the village remains forever, because it's a blessing.
Mm.
It's one of the biggest blessings I've ever had in my life.
Mm.
Yeah.
Amen. And can you, Chuck, can you just tell us who, specifically, your full name and your family, so that we can have that documented? That's all
right. Yeah. I'm Chuck Anderson, Charles. My wife is Joanne. We brought our children up here, Jan, Karen, and Kurt, when they were 7, 8, and 9, or something like that, 7, 8, and 10, in 64. I grew up in Minnesota, but then moved to California after I got out of the military, out of Air Force for a while, the Korean War. So, this place has been special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing your story.
Appreciate Anders?
It. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.